Plus, we don't even trust teachers to discipline our kids anymore. So we're going to trust them with guns now?
Let them discipline the kids first, and then we'll talk about
exactly.
guns.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a good question.
That's a damn good point.
That's a good question.
Your teacher can't raise a voice to the kid, but your teacher can come in there with a 357 Magnum. Come on, dirty hair and stuff. What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined my co-host Buff and Rozzy. Fellas, first of all, happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month. All the LGBTQTIA. Did I get them all?
LGBTQIA, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus. Yeah. And then it's like a plus at the end.
Plus.
Yeah. Plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell them what's on your mind, fellas. Because obviously the plus and all that stuff, we have to get that right sooner or later.
Well, first off, happy birthday, Rozzy. Birthday boy in the house, man.
It's your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Nah,
to
man,
you
got to play that Gracie's Corner birthday song. Have y'all heard that one yet?
No.
Oh, y'all know about Gracie's Corner in general, right? So, no. Okay. So for all the listeners out there and my brothers, Gracie's Corner, if you have small children under five and you want to get some educational videos with a beat, that type of thing, they put like hip hop beats behind or like New Orleans bounce beats behind like all the educational stuff. And she's got a birthday song that actually go really, really hard. So if you haven't listened to Gracie's Corner, YouTube it. Let your kids listen to that. It's way better than the ABCs and all that Wheels on the Bus stuff. Her Wheels on the Bus song goes super hard. So, yeah, just check it. They got dances with it and everything. Like, it goes hard.
Take your word for it. well, yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, happy birthday, Rozzio. I do want to say rest in peace to Jacqueline Smith, a.k.a. Jackie O. She was the mother. She was DC Young Fly's baby mom, and she went in to get
mommy makeover.
Yeah, mommy makeover type surgery, and died from that. Kind of like I think Kanye West's mom had something similar like that. So I brought that up because I saw a lot of people saying on social media, like, you know, she was beautiful how she was. Ladies, always remember you're already beautiful. This, that, and the other, and I'm like. That's that stuff that's easy to say, but to me, it's kind of useless. And I say that because when people decide that they want to have surgery, they know how they want themselves to look. So no matter how many times you tell them how beautiful or how pretty they are, it's what they see. So until we want to get to like the true root of it, these empty platitudes of you're enough and you're beautiful enough, I mean... Okay, that's good to hear, but I don't think that really attacks what people who elect to get that type of surgery are experiencing. So rest in peace to her. It's sad. I had a cousin that passed away from something similar to that. Other than that, 45, I told you I'm going to try not to say his name. 45 said something I think I kind of agree with, man. He was like, he doesn't like the term woke anymore. He's like, too many people using it. They're overusing it. And it's gotten away from its definition. So now, obviously, he's saying it because that's what DeSantis is championing. He's fighting the whole woke thing. So he has to make himself different from DeSantis. But, I mean, yeah, woke has lost, I think, its original definition. And people just throw it anywhere now. Those are only two things I got, though, fellas.
Yeah, man, definitely agree on the woke thing. It's toxic. It's all the words of the month type stuff in there. So, and it going back to the Jackie O thing, I saw a post that somebody was saying, you can't talk about, oh, Jackie O, you're enough. You shouldn't be getting surgeries. And in the same breath, go after Lizzo for being big. When Lizzo says she eats healthy, she, you know, she works out, she can do a full-on show dancing, singing and everything like that for 30-45 minutes, and put that on at her weight, so she's generally healthy. Just that's just her body is that big. You can't come after Lizzo for being that big and then still tell Jackie, oh, she's beautiful, she shouldn't get the surgeries and all that stuff. It's like you're trying to play both sides in that. So
I don't think that's what people come after Lizzo for, so I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
They come after her for her size. There's a lot of people that come after her for her size, though.
No, they come after her for how she portrays herself. The fact that she wears little to nothing. The fact that she, like, what was the NBA game where she pretty much had nothing on, just sat on the seat. Like, that's what they attack Lizzo for. Lizzo is a beautiful black woman. Do your thing, Lizzo. She's from Houston. Do your thing. I challenge anybody who just, there's a time and a place to do things. And when you're, to me, one of my biggest things with her, not only the way she dresses, like, she's seeking attention. Like, how can I go to this? I'm gonna wear nothing. That'll get them going. Like, it's, those are the conversations I see more of than, like, oh, she's big, she's fat. Like, nobody talks about that, really. As much, I think they talk about the way she portrays herself. And then it seems like she seeks attention. So,
but they, you know, don't talk about, I just, other women that are shaped more traditionally becoming doing those exact same things. If Coco,
I don't think we have those same conversations. We talk about.
No, that's not true. Sierra has one of the best looking bodies out there, and they dragged her for wearing what she wore to the award show.
That's a perfect example.
Until they found out what that was the theme of it.
Touche.
Yeah, I think it. Then also people's images, you know. So that's a whole other. That's a question.
Yeah.
You know, so. But you know, I just hate that we lost somebody due to elective surgery. So not saying that she didn't need it, because it's not for me to say. I truly wish more women would embrace their natural selves and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's what you feel is best for you. But the dangers of elective surgery. There's so many complications that go into any major medical procedure. And I hate to see something like that go wrong. With that being said, you know.
Yeah.
What else? You mentioned her. Anything else, Razi?
Well, no, that was Buff. But speaking of losses, I did want to bring it up. I know we usually take a moment of silence towards the end of the show. But Akilah Radcliffe Evans, you know, she lost her husband. I didn't even know anything about it until she made the post about, you know, her actually burying him over the weekend. And so, you know, our thoughts, our prayers are with you, classmate. You know, that's my home girl. She was up here at the same time. We helped each other out, you know, while she was at school and I was up here. I know what you're going through. I understand. I've had actually two or three people that have lost their spouses reach out to me and kind of figure out ways to get through it. But, and so any of the listeners that's going through it, I just want to say, it sounds cliche. It really does, but you will get through it. You can get through it. The whole cliche about time heals all wounds, I disagree with that. It doesn't heal all wounds. What it does is it makes it bearable. Time makes it bearable, and that's probably the best way that I could kind of put it. And so you'll get through it, but until then, reach out if you need help. Reach out to your friends, reach out to your family, lean on them. You know, you're not being a bother by leaning on them, because I know that was one of the big things in the back of my head a lot of times was, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to put my burdens on them. I don't want to this, that, and the other. Don't. Your friends are there and they want to be there for you, but they don't know how. And so lean on to them, talk to them, open up to them so that you can, you know, get through it. That's the only way you're going to be able to get through it. So,
well said.
I had that, man. The other thing I wanted to talk about, two new movies dropped. Spoiler-free reviews, but Little Mermaid and Spider-Man. Little Mermaid dropped last week. Spider-Man dropped this week. Both of them are awesome. Little Mermaid, we went and saw it while we were in Orlando with the kids. We walked out. The kids loved it. Haley, Ariel is her favorite princess, and so, you know, this was a big deal for her, and she loved it, and she actually agreed with me. We like the new live-action remake better than the original. And so that lets you know just generally how good it is. It's a really good show. It's based off of the musical that, you know, the play, not necessarily the Disney movie. And so there's some changes there, but it adds value to the story. It makes more sense from all the different mermaids and them being in the seven seas, so all of them looking differently. The location, right? It's in the Caribbean, so you see black people and everything, like the inclusion of it all. It's just a really, really well done movie. And then when we talk about Spider-Man, it's the same way. Diversity's there. I mean, you get an Indian Spider-Man, you got a black woman Spider-Man, like, or Spider-Woman. I mean, it's a really, really good movie. I enjoyed it. Ferg, you're frowning it up. You didn't like it as much?
No, I'm just, I didn't know there was a black woman Spider-Man. I thought I was kind of, you know, did she play a major role? Like, to the point where when I saw her on screen, I would have been like, damn, it's a black woman Spider-Man. And I would have... Were you surprised to see a black woman Spider-Man? Was there joy when you found that out, saw that?
No, so, but I know, you know, I read the comics, so I knew that, you know, she existed, and she's a major character in it.
So when you saw her in the movie, it was like, guess what won't happen for me? I won't have that same excitement when I realize there's a black woman Spider-Man. Thank you, Rizzy.
She's in the previews, bro. she's literally in the trailer, bro. I don't
know, sir. Brian, did you know the black woman Spider-Man in the movie?
I did not.
Just saying, two out of three. No, Little, I agree. Little Mermaid was really good. Took the family to see it earlier this week. My daughter loved it. My son watched it off and on. He was playing his iPad or his tablet half the time. So, and I think that's going to be the reverse when we go see Spider-Man this week for my daughter. She'll probably watch part of it and then be on her tablet. But I want both of them to see something. I'm excited about both movies. So,
yeah.
And Halle did a great job. Her voice is impeccable. She was beautiful. I mean, the cinematography, there was just very detailed. The Melissa McCarthy, I think that's her name, did a hell of a job as the villain. So I think it was really good casting, and I advise anybody to go see it. I know Porsche made a comment a few weeks ago about the movie was so great. Now she's questioning, are mermaids real? Like, it looks so realistic to her. So I think that was good. My thing is, I'm glad you brought that up, is I want to apologize. You guys brought up a show a few weeks ago, and I'm like, I'm not going to really pay any attention. The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is a really good show, so go check it out. And then I recently started watching Class of 09. Have either one of you started watching that?
I watched the first episode, and it was kind of slow, and like, it's all over the place with the two or three different periods and everything.
It's one of those things where you gotta get past it. The first show sets it up, and it's like, he's right, it's different time periods. So it's, of course, 2009 when they're in the academy, the present, and then they go into 2034, and it all tracks, it's kind of like the This Is Us type. You see something happening here and it relates to something in the future, and they go back to the present to show how it's relating and all that stuff. So it's really good. We're pretty much caught up, but that's another good show to watch. And oh my god, I can never remember his name, one of the main characters, dude from Atlanta.
Paperboy.
Does a really good job. I'm just so excited to see him in so many different roles. I mean, that guy took off. I mean, before Atlanta, I didn't know anything about him, and now he's in a show like this. He's had a couple of movies and Eternals. He had a really good job in Eternals as well.
Bullet Train.
And Bullet Train. And he plays very diverse roles. So I like that. And speaking of woke, everybody's favorite fast food restaurant is apparently woke right now. Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
Oh, Chick-fil-A.
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 Yeah.
So are we unboycotting Chick-fil-A now?
I,
I mean, not that y'all were boycotting anyway, but I mean, like, are they officially off the hook now? Because apparently they're so woke. So recently, Chick-fil-A became the target for right-wing propaganda. A lot of the right-wing media are attacking them because they're so woke. And how woke can you be on a scale of 1 to 10? How woke do you guys know what they're being targeted for?
They it's not even a new hire. It's like he's now their diversity. What's the
equity and equity inclusion? And, yeah, equity
and inclusion. Yeah. So, it's pretty much equivalent to like an HR almost. Like every company needs this.
That's what's so crazy. Like they're in an uproar for the bare minimum. That's not even being woke. That is having a company in 2023. Like, I feel like every company has to have something similar to that.
Yeah.
You know?
And they've had the role. It's not new.
Like, he's been in the role for 3-4 years
yeah,
now.
Yeah. It's just that he posted on Twitter that Chick-fil-A is a diverse equity, inclusion, or inclusive workplace, blah, 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 blah. We don't judge. And the right wing got in the uproar because they feel like Chick-fil-A.
Because how dare he?
Yeah, because they knew, like, Chick-fil-A had that racist anti-LGBTQ you know, slant on it, and he posted it for Pride Month, and so now they're like, oh my god, they like gay people now, we can't eat there anymore. I mean,
how dare they?
it's
the fact there's a position, like, that's the bare minimum. That's like the bare standard. It's like, yeah, we're gonna have somebody that's gonna be over diversity, equity, and inclusion. Whoa, what are you trying to do here? Mm-hmm. You know, when I read that, I was just like, oh my God, how do we get here? How do we get here?
Yeah.
But that's even something. So, and it was trending online. Like you said,
it's so needed. I mean, I actually am DEI certified. And the thing about it is, you talk about Byron, you need it. It's kind of like your HR department that you need somebody that's talking about that, looking at those numbers. We had that gender pay gap conversation. DEI is one of the groups that look at that because they look at equity and inclusion in there. They watch those numbers. And so inside of the company, like, they literally are there to make sure your white women get paid just as much. So it's not about LGBTQ, or it's not just about women. It's about equity and making sure that everybody has a voice at the table, and if they feel included and they can walk into work and not feel and be their authentic self. That's really what it comes down to be. You know, your religious holidays make a difference. You can actually, you know, celebrate them. We're going to give you time off to go have your religious celebrations because America is a Christian-based, you know, type of country, and so a lot of our holidays revolve around Christian holidays. And so if there's another religion there, we need to make sure that our company gives time off and allows people to celebrate all of that. Like, there's a lot that goes into that position and that job that's needed in a company.
So just being the golden rule, which I think is outdated, is, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, rather than do unto others as they would have you do unto them. Like, I think we need to get more into that. It's like, if this is my, like you said, religious holiday, let me celebrate it. You know, let me celebrate it. You know, that's what I want from you. I'll work Christmas. That's fine. But, you know, I want these days off. I want to observe these days just like you get to observe these days. That's all I'm asking. You're like, no, you can have Christmas off. Great. You know, I want Christmas off. I'm going to give everybody Christmas off. I'm such a good guy. It's like, no, Christmas is fine. I work Christmas. You know, Ramadan is very big. I want to be able to observe it the way I need to, yada, yada, yada. And so it's just very weird that we're still here to be a country that's supposed to be based off of diversity and inclusion. You know, that's kind of what America was about, you know. People ran here to escape persecution and be able to live their way of life. And now America seems like it's, hey, I'm cool with you living your way of life as long as it revolves around my way of life. And, you know, this too. It's because of slavery. But, you know, it is what it is. So hopefully the great Chick-fil-A survives this, because now the right wing's mad at them. And hopefully, I think that'll blow over. They find somebody to be upset with every other week. So what else we got, fellas?
That's it.
Oh, let's jump with Sophie then.
Yeah, let me go grab her.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Wow. Greetings and salutations.
Greetings and salutations.
And welcome.
Welcome. Yeah.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Summer has started.
Oh, I see. Summer has started. I see you didn't lose your glasses at the water park.
He did. This was because Ollie was about to drown him, and he was drowning with a life jacket on.
Your dad and Ollie?
No. Ollie was drowning, but he wasn't actually drowning. He just got really scared. So like, he started going all frantic with a life jacket on.
Yeah.
And started pulling daddy under the water. So while he was trying to hold Ollie up, he lost his glasses because it was a crazy river instead of the lazy river. And the crazy river, like, the waves are all over the place and it's crazy.
Yeah. You know. And Ollie nor daddy can swim, can they?
No, he can swim. But, you know, they have. Oh, you can't?
Yes, I can swim.
Oh.
I'm not a strong swimmer, but okay. I can swim.
Okay.
See, there was a one ride where, like, it would drop into, like, a 10-foot pool. That's one of the things that, like, I would come up, but then I'll go straight back down.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I'm not doing it, and I didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, see? You're very responsible. But daddy shouldn't have had his glasses on in the pool.
I had my glasses on, but I didn't lose them.
But you're responsible, though. You're responsible, apparently, because somebody didn't lose their glasses. We're not saying any names. So, you know, do you have a joke for us today?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm ready. I feel like I'm going to get it.
No.
I'm in the zone.
Why did the dog do so well in class?
Bart.
He was the teacher's pet.
Yeah, I was all off. I was trying to use bark or something like that. Well, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Did you make that one up or is that a...
No, it was from Google.
Google?
Yeah. Google.
Yes. Well, enjoy your summer. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Maybe this week. Yeah, this week.
I don't know. Goodbye. Yeah.
Goodbye. Who wants to go first?
I'll take it.
Yeah, because I don't even have a question.
I have one. Mine is simple.
All right. So, you know, each time there's a school shooting, the discussion of should we start arming the teachers is floated around. And I've always thought about that from forcing teachers to learn how to handle guns and carry guns. But I never really thought about it from the notion of should we allow them, like if they want to and they receive the proper training, should we allow teachers to carry guns? I know in Callisburg, Texas, and many other places in Texas, there are districts that allow teachers to carry guns. It's called the Guardian Program. How do you brothers feel about allowing teachers, if they go through the proper training and all that, of carrying guns in schools to hopefully protect your kids?
It's cool when they do it, but it's a problem when I do it. Oh, no. I don't like it for the simple fact that it only takes one bad day. And having a gun escalates things. That teacher that has that gun, that some student threatens them, some student comes at them to fight, some student comes at them, are they going to pull that gun out on that student? Are they going to, you know, use that gun when there's a huge fight going on, but there's no guns involved, right? And that happens. That happens, especially if you're talking about a high school, right? We've been in brawls. We've had 15, 20 kid brawls and stuff, but there was no guns involved with it. It was a bunch of shoving, pushing, couple punches, and that's it. And I feel like when you start arming those folks, you get into this almost, I hate to say it, but what we've done to cops, militarization of the police force, right? You're militarizing those teachers. You're saying, yes, you can carry that gun. So now, eventually, it's going to take one teacher pulling it out on that big brawl, right? And so now every teacher with that gun thinks that that's what they can do. And so now they're going to be pulling it out more and more. And you come to this, get to this spot. So, and Buff, I know you hate slippery slope arguments, but I really feel like this is like one of those moments that it is a slippery slope of you start down this path of militarizing, you know, the teaching force. And I really don't want to do that. I really want to keep that to police officers, school resource officers, things like that. Worst case scenario, hire another resource officer, put some money into it and have two instead of one at the school, something like that. But I just don't feel comfortable with citizens walking around with guns around these kids. And not just that, you talk about now you have teachers with guns, you got guns in the schools. So now some high school kid, some middle school kid goes in that teacher's desk, or that, you know, they knock that teacher out. Now they got a gun. Like there's other things of just vicinity and access to those weapons. So no, I'm 100% against or for, what is it? Gun-free zones in those schools. I mean, it's no different than at City Hall or at the Capitol building. Senators can't walk around with their guns, or actually they do let them walk around with a couple of them, right? So they've let them do it now. But a random person walking in can't do it, right? You can't walk in with a gun. So I really feel like it really should be that if you're not police, if you're not trained to have that, and that is your primary focus, is to protect that weapon, protect people and that type of thing, I don't think you need a gun. I mean, you look at places like Britain, their police don't even carry guns. Like, so I don't this gun culture that we have just has to be stopped. And so, no, I'm not for it.
I mean, it's simple. I don't know why we haven't done before. Add more guns. That'll help the gun problem. Right. That's what you do. Rizzy, everything I was going to hit on, you hit on. Recapping, the fact that you have teachers who can be in volatile situations and become a shooter themselves. And what you really didn't hit on really is, let's say they're not the shooter themselves, but they are in a situation where they do have to draw the weapon. How comfortable are you with your third grade teacher escorting your student? You know, like now she's... Now she's freaking
Sarah Connor, you know.
Yeah, like,
defending the kids from the Terminator.
These are things we're talking about. And I'll just stick right there. Is we're already having a problem with people who are trained to do this, to handle this. It's like, you know, we talk about unnecessary shootings. We talk about the in Texas. I think it was Texas where the resource officer was there and what panicked?
Florida. It was in Florida.
Florida. It didn't do anything. So, but this is their job. So you have this teacher who, 2023, they get trained. God forbid they have to use this. But it's 2029, 6 years later.
And hell, that's my bad, for it was in Florida and Texas, because the police department in Texas, they were scared to go in, and the resource officer in Florida. Yeah.
So my thing is, like, we have people that are trained to do this. This is their job, is to serve and protect. They annual training, they get paid to do this. And we're saying we're already struggling with the responsibility of teachers in the school system today. Public school teachers are underpaid and overworked. And we're saying, hey, by the way, we need you to become Rambo. That's essentially what we're saying. And if they do this and something happens, now the teacher has to worry about this too. it's just too much. We're trying to fix a problem that the wrong way.
Yeah.
Instead of tighter gun control, we're saying let's get more people who aren't really qualified to carry guns to start being police officers.
Yeah. Military, I don't know if you remember when we went to Afghanistan, and I heard it again going to Iraq finally, but it's there's a saying in the military that says, I don't want to be in the foxhole with the guy that wants the Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you really have to think about that. I don't want the folks that if they can actually do it, they can decide if they want to bring a gun to school. I don't know if I want them there. Like that's the other part about it. That's that person. That's that I wish attitude, right? I wish a motherfucker would come up in here. I got my gun. I'm strapped. I'm ready. And I don't know if that's what we want. That's conducive for that environment, right?
And you know what? And I haven't seen enough cases of all these people who are armed saving the world. Like, it's just like, man, I'm glad because we have more people with guns that they stopped the robbery here and they stopped the school shooting here. Like, I don't hear these stories.
Yeah, you hear the anecdotal one-offs. Like, every once in a while, you hear a good guy with a gun saves people. But it's rare. It really is rare.
What I do hear is these people who have all these guns shooting up schools, shooting up churches, shooting up malls. Like, that's my thing. People should have guns to protect themselves. Okay, agreed. I have guns in my house. They stay locked up. I don't take them out of my house unless I travel. I still debate if I even want them in my house with young kids. I'm not a wish mother. But at the same time, it's the people who have all these guns, who have arsenals. They don't have guns. They have arsenals who are doing these things. I can't. Maybe once every year or so, we hear some hero story. And then that becomes like, well, luckily Byron had a gun and he was able to thwart a domestic violence thing. It's nothing. It's never anything big. We've never heard anybody stop this potential mass shooting. And then the teacher's in there, they start shooting and, you know, it's just going to be worse until some kid gets shot by the teacher. That's when, you know.
Yeah. Yes. And I get the other side of it, though. I mean, I understand the whole personal protection thing. You know, Ferg Z, she want her little 22 pistol in her purse or whatever, you know, at the school because she's, you know, 4 foot nothing and you know, she's teaching high school but boys on a bad track. I get the mentality or the idea behind it. I don't agree with it. I still don't agree with it. I understand where some of those teachers that are saying, let me bring my gun to school, are coming from.
So are we asking to bring the gun to school to stop school shootings or for personal protection? Those are two different things.
Well, I think it would get turned into that. It would get turned into personal protection.
I think that's the thing. Is like, oh, this motherfucker hit me. You know, and the school ain't gonna do nothing? Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same reason other people pull out guns on people.
Yeah. I mean, right? And even if you don't pull it out or he didn't hit you, the kid didn't hit you. I mean, I see a teacher saying, come up over here if you want to. You're going to catch this heat. Like, it's going to be that, right? They're going to use that gun as their, like, protection or whatever in that conversation. So
I'm thinking of a teacher from LaFleur that would have said that. She was actually a substitute. But I could have seen Miss Jessie. I don't know if y'all remember Miss Jessie. But I feel like Miss Jessie would have said that in a heartbeat.
She probably had one in her purse for real.
She probably did.
So the kids, Miss
Jessie definitely had a 22.
The kids they interviewed said that they actually liked it. They felt safe with their teachers carrying the weapons. But kids are stupid, and that's why we don't let them vote. everything you guys brought up, man, is like on point because it's too many questions to it. Are they carrying it on them at all times, or is it locked up in the classroom? If they're carrying it on them at all times, then they get mobbed by enough teenagers and they grab the gun from them. Or, I mean, you know, my department got made fun of for this several years ago, but officers leave their weapons in bathrooms all the time. You telling me teachers probably wouldn't? So now you got a loose gun in a bathroom that kids can get their hands on.
Military does too. Yes. You know how many times they've shut down military bases because private or specialist or sergeant, da da da, and like they'll shut down a whole base and we'll walk the base for hours looking for somebody's weapon.
Yeah.
That stuff happens all the time. Accidental discharges.
Yes.
We ain't even talking about that. Like, you know, how many accidental discharges do we see in Afghanistan, Rozzy?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
You know, like,
we had to treat like
somebody
that
shot themselves in the foot.
Damn. Also, you know, when officers get in a shooting, they have to be, they're held accountable for every round that they shoot, they fire. So, you know, you got these teachers, let's say they do take on a mass shooter and they miss them and hit one of your kids. Do they get to say, well, hey, I was just trying to help, or are they going to be held liable for that? It's far too many questions. You guys said everything that needed to be said, though. I'm against it, whether they want to carry it or not. And what you said about being in the foxhole with somebody that wants to win the medal, that I like that, because you don't want to. You don't want that type of person carrying a weapon.
Byron, you made me think of something else, though. When you're in a firefight, you usually have like a team lead or somebody, right? You have somebody, you have a command center. When they're raiding a school because the school's shooting, it's not like every officer on the street, like, I get there first, I'm just running a school and I'm doing what I'm doing. Like, there is a command center. There is somebody who is taking on this. If there's a hostage situation, we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, now, does this escalate the situation even more? Because you have a command center out here, but then you have a teacher in here that over here doing Rambo stuff.
Right.
John McClane.
You know?
Plus we don't even trust teachers to discipline our kids anymore. So we're going to trust them with guns now?
Let them discipline the kids first, and then we'll talk about
exactly.
guns.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a good question.
That's a damn
man.
Good point.
That's a good question.
Your teacher can't raise a voice to the kid, but your teacher can come in there with a 357 Magnum. Come on, dirty Harry and stuff. Oh my God. You got one, Rise, or you want to go?
Nah, you go ahead and go.
So I was watching a video the other day, and it was just very stupid. So that's why I'm going to ask this question. Guys, take a step back and just close your eyes and think about all these bad haircuts that we've seen, bad haircuts and bad hairstyles over the last 40 years. Males, black men, what are the worst 3 to 5 haircut/hairstyles that we've had that we've seen in our lifetime?
Rat tail, the Gumby. Mm-hmm. Only Mr. T pulled off the mohawk. Only Mr. T. What?
The Picard for the old guys. The one that you bald in the middle, but you keep the sides real
thick. Oh, you talking about the Sherman Hensley.
Sherman Hensley.
Oh, man.
What about it wasn't a haircut, but what about Jerry Curl?
I was about to say that. Yeah. Jerry Curl.
I said haircut or hairstyle.
Yeah.
Jerry Curl.
Definitely hairstyle. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
The Jerry curl and the S curl, I put them in the same bucket.
Yes,
the curl.
And I was a victim of the S curl. Yes, I was.
I wanted the S curl. My S curl took.
What's the difference in the Jerry curl?
Burning my scalp.
Like, what is the difference? Isn't the S curl like the waves? Like finger waves? Guys getting finger waves?
Ooh,
like red?
I forgot the finger waves.
Guys had okay.
Oh yeah, bro. I had the troop or something like that.
I had the S curl. Cause I wanted waves. Jerry curl is like more, like you could put the S curl at a certain part. Like if you had a fade or whatever, you just put it up there. But a Jerry curl was all over. It was the whole head.
You know okay, I mean? All right. So, and Jerry curl was way wetter, right? Like it was supposed to move where S curl like gave you just kind of the way. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So S curl was like you might have seen like in the '90s where these dudes had like you said, they might have a box top or a fade, and they cut extra curly and slick. I feel like Jamie Foxx had it and stuff. But the Jerry curl, that's that soul glow type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let it shine through.
So. What else you got, Razzy? You got
right? Just guys.
Yeah, just the guys' hairstyles. Yeah, but the finger wave. I forgot when guys were.
I left out a good one.
What you about to say?
The fade with no blend. just the salad bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Bruh. That wasn't even a style. That was just a mistake. That's when you knew they went to a bad barber.
Yeah. So, but I think it got popular, right? So the high top fade, like the, you know, super duper high top fade. So the kid and play. Yeah. Like it's super high. You had those, you talked about the Gumby, but a Gumby that actually was pretty dope. I was watching, Juice. Everybody went back and watched Juice after that. And everybody, forgot that Bishop had that Gumby, like Bishop cut. And it was actually based off of a Bishop. If you look at the chess piece. So that's where they got the how he got his haircut from. So that was pretty dope. But it was essentially a Gumby. I mean, when you think about it. But yeah. That I think the black folks didn't have it too often, a mullet. But if you had a Boosie fade, it's essentially a black person mullet. So the Boosie fade, or as folks here in Birmingham call it, the Besma cut. So yeah, that big kind of shag in the back type thing. So
yeah, that's what I say, the shag.
So yeah, those were the really bad ones. But man, we've had some bad styles. But I think really, oh, and we can't talk about the presses. So there was guys out there getting presses too. So they were trying to have like
that was big, on my list. That Batman, that Marcus Houston.
Yeah. Center cut
press. The Bob, that fresh nigga walk over there, fresh Bob. Oh man. Yeah, the Shag, the Bob, the Gumby. My personal favorite of horrible cuts, it wasn't even a cut. It was just the part.
Mm.
That Larry Johnson.
In the middle.
Yeah.
I had one of those.
So are we gonna talk a little bit about beards too? Because that like super thin beard line that like went straight down the bottom.
Just a chin strap. That chin strap.
Yeah. But it was like super thin. Like you didn't have like the whole thing.
One of the ones he brought up was, I don't know if you saw, was a double lineup. When they have like a line.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They have like a lineup and then it's like a part lineup. So they have a real lineup, Jesus. And then they'll have like another lineup going.
Good God! Okay. Through.
Yeah, man, I remember
that. But speaking of lineups, this new wave of that chalk line thing that they got going on with their lineups, I don't know what that is, but bro, please
chalk
stop.
Line.
Yeah, you ain't seen the chalk.
You ain't seen that the little white line that they draw.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How did they even do that? No, they like walk out of the barbershops with it. Like, I be seeing people in parties. Like, that's how you know they got a fresh cut right before the party or whatever, that Friday morning, because they'll still have a little chalk line.
Pretty much most of those cuts on that poster in barbershops, like, it may have been 3 or 4 decent cuts that you would rock with. And then the rest of them, you look at those pictures, you're like, who the hell walking around with that? Like, most of those cuts nobody had, man.
Yup.
That's so bad. Yeah, that's... Yeah, let me. Yeah, nobody ever's like, let me get a number 17. the mystical braids.
Mm.
Like mystical just had it.
That little chunky braids, because they were like super big. Yeah,
I was anti mystical braids. I remember when dudes first really started getting the nasty locks. The locks. You got that one.
Where it's like super nappy forward, like matted towards your head. Yeah. So, but I mean, like you said, Florida, there's places that like swear by that stuff.
Yeah,
that don't make it right.
Hey,
people swear by this Dallas shag. Shit still don't make it. D-Town Shag, bro. This is horrible. The South Side in Houston.
Hey.
Certain haircuts you're like, dog, it's not 1996 anymore.
The fight we're going to, Earl Spence, not long ago, still had that shag. It's a couple of, not too many fights ago, he had that joint.
Yeah. That rat tail, I wanted a rat tail for a sec, though. I wanted one, but
I'll keep his name out of it, but we have a classmate that kept a rat tail for a very, long time, like into high school. Very long time.
I remember.
I'll tell y'all. I'll tell you when we get off there. I remember. Oh, you remember? Yeah, man.
All right, that was my question. It was just funny. I was like, "Am I on the same page? Are you guys? Do you remember like I do?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got a quick question. One.
Luckily, my mom didn't let me do any of those.
Oh, good.
Dumb hairstyles.
Yeah, my mom wasn't with it either. So she was like, "Nope, you doing something real, you know, low cut fade." That was about it. So I did have a like we did like the little twist. Right out of school, and that was the funny part. We had twists while we were in the military. So
oh, my Carl Barker twist.
Yeah.
Oh, baby boy, yeah, that was dope. That was for the culture. I remember the first time I got them, and I didn't think about it. I had set up all day getting them done. This chick set up, and then I went to a party later that night in the same apartment complex, and jumped in the pool, and I felt like it was one of those cartoons at mid-air. I'm like like I realized that I had just got my twist done, and as soon as I came down, I mean, it didn't completely mess them up, but it wasn't that fresh, you know.
Yeah,
chlorine, all that stuff. The beeswax was,
yeah, that's what I was about dripping. To ask, did you use the gel or did you use the beeswax? You know, it was real. Yeah. If they used the beeswax, so
yeah.
So but I got a real quick question. Probably, I know we almost at time, so talking about Little Mermaid and the, all these remakes and live action remakes, I wanted to get you guys' opinions on, you know, should these classic animations do these remakes? I know Transformers came out, Byron, you were like not a fan of the Michael Bay ones or whatever. I'm super excited for the new ones that's coming out. The Bumblebee was really good. Then talking about Rise of the Beast coming out, and so how do you guys feel about the remakes? And if you're cool with it, what's a classic kind of show, cartoon, or whatever that you would want to make into a live action?
Only cartoons? Animated?
I mean, or old shows, if you want to remake an old show. I think we've already talked about that, like old movies or whatever that you want to remake.
Well, I'm all for the remakes if they can make it better and if they respect... Well, there's two ways to respect the classic. You know, like if they go more towards the book rather than the movie, and they can provide more detail, or there was something original. Cause you know, like we remake, even what you were saying, Little Mermaid, it's more based off like the play versus the movie. And the Little Mermaid is Disney stole that story. So the Disney's Little Mermaid is not the Little Mermaid. So if they can put twists on that, so I'm fine with that. As long as they show respect and they, you know, don't try to cheapen it, because similar situation where people are upset about The Color Purple, I'm actually super excited about it.
Yeah.
Where the remake just looks like it's going to be awesome. And Oprah has a big hand in it. And the preview I saw just made me excited, because I think in today's world, they can go a little deeper into the story, especially things that might have that we've whitewashed. Even and I use that word very loosely, like The Color Purple is whitewashed for the time. You know, you can't talk about, you know, Celie's lesbian experience and stuff like that. We couldn't do that in 1984, 85, whenever the movie came out. In 2023, oh yeah, that's a whole different avenue to explore.
Yeah, even the colorism,
you don't have to talk about mysteries.
It was way more like more light skin, dark skin. Whereas you look at the new actors now, that colorism isn't as much of a focal point as it was back then.
Yeah. So, what would I like to see remade? Come back to me on that one.
So I also don't. Well, first, let me say I was excited at first at the Michael Bay Transformer movies, but I don't think they aged well. Like, I hate, what's his name, Shia LaBeouf. I hate his character now. I can't even watch those movies anymore. With that said, I can't think of one that I want remade, but I want to ask this. The Little Mermaid, Prince Eric, is he white or black?
He's white.
Yeah.
All right, so sticking with these Disney remakes, I don't care what they remake, but it's time for a Black Prince. Unless I'm missing one. But, like, I'd like to see a Black Prince. I'd like to see a Black Prince and a Black Princess. Let's get some Black love in some of these Disney fairy tales, because I was already mad at Princess and the Frog and the fact that the majority of the movie, she was a damn frog. And then the prince she fell for wasn't like a brother. And then even with this Little Mermaid, like, which I think is one of the, I don't like the whole story of the Little Mermaid, but let's put a brown skin, let's put a Black prince in one of these movies. But I can't think of a specific one that I just want remade. Cause like my favorite cartoons, they wouldn't be good live action. Family Guy, Simpsons, Boondocks. Well, Boondocks, maybe Boondocks. So no,
Boondocks might be.
They can do something with that. I'm gonna let that be my answer right now. Boondocks, man, go live action that joke.
I like that.
Could they do a Voltron or something like that?
Yeah, Voltron would be dope right now. Like, yeah, think about it. I mean, with the CGI they have now, where they could do it like a better Power Rangers, right? Like a good storyline or whatever with the Michael Bay
Power Rangers
CGI
want to be cheap
Transformers.
Looking?
Power Rangers does. Like, it's supposed to be. Yeah, it's supposed to be that. I mean, Sentai is very like that. It's you put the miniatures on, you put the you know, the costumes on, and you just kind of go with it. That's part of kind of the feel of it. I mean, it goes back all the way to the 80s, and they've been doing it that way. So
I think that's the reason I never got into Power Rangers, because I felt like it's what I wanted Voltron to be, and I feel like it was a cheap version of Voltron, and I just didn't respect it.
Yeah. Yeah, but no,
I'm thinking
Voltron
about like old
be
cartoons.
Dope. Yeah, Voltron would be dope.
Thundercats, I would like, but I just feel like they would mess up like the it would be too much CGI for the character.
I mean, when I look at Avatar, that's what I look at. If they did a Thundercats, it would have to be that level of CGI where you got the Thundercats running around, you got all the people. But I think that would be dope if they did it like that. So yeah, that was one of my answers actually, was Thundercats, is if we could get that remade. So, but Byron, talking about your Black prince and princess, most of the princesses that they create are based in a country, right? Merida is in Scotland or whatever. I mean, it could be very easy for them to just base a princess story in Africa. Any country in Africa, pick them, because it's a continent. So you got plenty of countries to be able to tell stories, right? And very, very easy for you to talk about one of those countries and do a princess story there or a prince story there. I mean, it would be super dope.
They would. Africa's too woke for them. They would do the Caribbean first, and similar to the way they did Little Mermaid.
Now they can still
lightweight whitewash it, because there's still like a primary
Spanish
European influence
in
a lot of these Caribbean countries.
Yep. Yeah. Think about that.
They would never green light this too, but it would be totally away from the story. But if they had like Aladdin in America, you know, trying to date like this top popular white girl, and he has to deal with the racism in America, you know, being looked at as a terrorist and stuff because he's from a Muslim country and stuff like that. They would never do it, but I think that would be dope too.
Yeah. And make his name Aladdin. So that would be cool. That would be cool to, like, when you think about the modern retellings, like they did with Once Upon a Time and that type of thing, where it was all current day, but that type of thing. That would be pretty cool to see that happen. So,
good question. Man.
Yeah.
Trump would boycott that. Tell him to go back to Agrabah.
That would definitely mess up Disney's bottom line.
Yeah, but that's what they gotta do, man. They gotta tell all of these other stories, and that's I'm so tired of Hollywood, and Hollywood's doing it right. They are branching out and telling other stories, and I'm liking what they're doing. It's just it's that white lash that's coming back from it, where they tell a diverse story, or they tell a story about something that's somebody that's non-white, and it's like, oh my God, the world's falling, right? Like, oh, everything's woke, right? They're talking about, oh, they woke agenda or whatever. Not it, totally ignoring the idea that still 60-70% of stories that are told in Hollywood are strictly whitewashed, right? There's almost, it revolves around white characters in a white environment. It really is. I was watching the ending of Succession. Oh, it ended so well. But I was watching the ending of that, and I thought about it. I'm like, man, this is like a really white cast, but it makes sense for the show. But it was still one of those things that, like, it is not diverse at all. And I think they're okay mm-hmm. with that.
They're going to have to, unfortunately, Byron, you're not going to get what you want with any of the classics. They're going to have to pull something that we haven't seen or we're unfamiliar with. The crazy thing, there's hundreds of fairy tales across the world. They're going to pull something or some. It might even be a princess story. It's going to take time, just like The Little Mermaid did. It's more inclusive, but they were still very careful on how they used the inclusivity. Like, it was very structured, but people are still going
to
fight that.
Yeah, but I would love to see a black, you know, prince and a black princess based in Africa, and you know, the British are the enemies, right? They're the bad guys coming in and trying to keep them apart and everything like that. You could tell that story.
We gave you Black Panther,
but I mean, a real one. And I mean, you want to put some mysticism in there. You put Aunt Nancy in there. And if we can bring old boy back from American Gods that played Aunt Nancy on there. Oh, man, it'll be like so dope that you could bring all that in. So it would, I mean, I think it would work even as an animated film. Truthfully,
does it have the challenges? There's not a big enough story behind it to cater to the masses. Like, if it was a story that we all knew and they recreated it, that's an easier sell.
Nobody knew going Frozen to find this story. Brand.
But no, but they're white. What I'm saying is, you know, creating and bringing forth a new white story is all fine and dandy. Yeah. You know, this is what we're used to. That's how all these stories got here.
You got the Woman King.
That's how all these stories got here.
Like, The Woman King, remake that into the type of something. Like there's stories out there to be told, and it's just them being able to do it.
I agree.
And I think when you talk about worldwide,
from that too.
Yeah, and it's about money. They tell that story. Even if we want to see it here in America, it's not going to do well in China. China doesn't really do well with, you know, diverse or black-led movies. I mean, we already know it. And that's probably 20-30% of a movie's gross these days. So it's not going to work there. It's probably not going to work very well in Europe. And so that's why it's not getting greenlit. I mean, they're looking at bottom line dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So unless you just want to, like, do one for the culture.
Yeah.
Then I just don't, you know. Like I said, it would have to be a to have a successful black story like that, it would have to be a well-known story and the lead actor and all this stuff. And it still could be a predominantly black cast. It would have to be some very strong white supporting actors that you can get behind. So, I don't know. But that's neither here or there. Let's go ahead and close out the show.
So I want to apologize ahead of time because we've had a fairly fun show, but I'm going to end it on something a little more serious. We mentioned that it's Pride Month this month. And last month we just saw it was Mental Health Awareness Month. And it's something that I looked at recently this last week. The rise of suicide among black men. For like the first time in history, there's been a huge increase in black men killing themselves. So first, I just want to say, brothers, you know, please, please, you know, seek help. It's okay to be, you know, whatever you're feeling, it's okay to feel that and seek the help that you need. We know we don't have a lot of outlets, a lot of places where we can truly comfortably express how we feel about things when we're in pain. And so that's part of it. But have someone to talk to. I know people always say, you know, call the suicide prevention hotline. And I'm sure they do great work and help many people. But I would assume for a lot of people, it would be like just, I don't know, almost talking to a wall. Like you almost need someone that knows you to talk to you. I would think, I could be completely wrong on that. But everydayhealth.com says the 5 leading reasons that Black men are suffering from suicide is social media. Trying to keep up with what you see on social media and fit in. Just the stigma. We, as much as we battle the stigma in the Black community of seeking help and going to a therapist, going to counseling, overall, there's still this great stigma in our community that you're weak or something is wrong with you if you need those things. Access. Not, you know, we tell people to go get help, but some people probably do want help and just don't have the access to it. Racism, we talk about that a lot on this show. We deal with so much racism. A lot of times we only point out the big racism. We don't even mention the overt racism. I mean, the covert racism sometimes. Like we kind of let that slide. It's like par for the course. Like, you know, oh, well, you was in that town, so that's what you expect. You know what I mean? So, and last, our exposure to violence is higher than our white counterparts and other races in this country. So those 5 things are what we're dealing with and that we just need to address. And the most alarming statistic I saw was that suicide is the 2nd leading cause of death for 10 to 14 year old Black boys. 10. I couldn't even comprehend a 10 year old even, you know, dealing with that. But as I bounced that idea off of people, they was like, you know, they had an example of a 10-year-old that, not a 10-year-old, but a young kid that hung himself because a family member died. You know what I mean? Or, you know, they may not feel loved or whatever they're going through. And it's just something that I couldn't even fathom. I'm like, I'm thinking you're too young to even be feeling that way, but I'm wrong on that.
And that's probably that's probably part of the thing is, you know, when you're showing the signs. I've seen even not even as young as 10, we're so quick to write off the experiences of those younger than us, or we feel that should be in a way happier. What you stressed out about?
Yeah.
No, you're 10 years old. You don't got nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're 18 years old. Don't be worried about that little girl. That ain't the end of the world, but for that person at that point in time in their mind, it is.
Right.
I would love to see that. Shoot me that, because I've been thinking about that, because I've just seen so many of friends and brothers that I, you know, frat brothers I talk to. It seems like everybody's going through something,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I don't know if it's just this time period or people are a little more open or I'm more aware now. And people are struggling to deal with it. You know, they're struggling, and people are on the edge. Like, bro, it was tough. You know, and I shared my story. You know, I took FMLA just because I just needed a break. And I'm blessed to have a friends and support system that helped lead me to that path, because I didn't come up with that solution on my own. You know. You know, half the time it's, dog, just fight through it. You know, here's an option. But rather than like, dog, take a break and work in mental health. It was a solution to get past everything else rather than my mental health. So I encourage you and others to talk to people. There's usually 2 parts to it. It's the situation you're dealing with and the mental health part. And don't just try to find a solution to what you're dealing with. If it's finances, if it's relationships, if it's work, if it's the kids, we'll give you all the bruh, just you know, find another job, do this, do that. And it's like, dog, you need to go talk to somebody and learn how, maybe you need to be on antidepressants. Maybe you need to learn how to meditate. There's something that you need to do further, because this situation will probably pass. But if you don't learn how to deal with these emotions and the mental part of it, it's just going to come back. So,
Yeah, man.
I ain't meant to steal your thunder, bro. But that's
it's just
huge.
It was like I felt like I was rambling anyway, but basically, man, just
no. You're straight on. It's crazy.
I don't know any magic words to say. Like people always say, get help, and that's all I can offer right now. But you know, just look out for your fellow brothers. Look out for your fellow brothers. We always say check on people and stuff like that, and we mean that, and we try to practice that. I think.
And follow up.
Yeah. Within our,
there's people I'm following up with too, because I've had a conversation recently, and I'm sorry, because this has been very close to me recently, is you say people, you tell people to help access, but some people just don't know what to do, even if they have access. Mm. How do you find a therapist? You know, what do you look for? They went to one therapist, that didn't work, and they're like, that therapy don't work for me.
Yeah. I've heard that.
What do I look for? How do I find somebody? You know, it's like dating. You got to get out there. You're not gonna, you ain't gonna fall in love if you never go out, step out the house. The first person you date, unless you're Byron, you know, you know, gonna fall in love with. Like it's you got to go find it. If you want it, you got to go work for it. Unfortunately, and that's just another stressor.
Yep, trying to squeeze that into the already stressful life that you're running through right now. You know, it, like you say, it's just one other thing. And that's why the FMLA is there. That's why that time's there, to be able to take it. But I get it. A lot of people can't take that time because they might not have, you know, money to be able to do it. Cause that's one of those things that, you know, and I think that's a little bit of where that's a white people thing. Therapy's a white people thing came from.
I remember
from,
that. Was yeah. that
you need yeah. money to be able to do that. Right. If I'm taking a month off of work, I got to be in a job that actually pays me for that month. If not, then I can't take a month off work because then I don't pay my bills, right? So there's that part of it. So do what you can. Lean on your friends. Like I talked about in the opening, your friends are there and they want to help. And if they aren't there and they don't want to help, they might not be your friends. You might want to find new friends. You gotta surround yourself with a support group that actually is there for you and wants to help take care of you. I really didn't have anything, man. I just wanted to shout out to Inspire You On Air, new beat of the Bay. If you're listening to us on there, just make sure you like the content. We're on every podcasting platform out there. Check us out if you want to look at the back catalog, listen to some other episodes. We have fun like this on every episode that we have, man. I mean, the show is a fun show. It really is, and we really enjoy it. And if you're listening to us on one of the podcasting platforms, download the Inspire You On Air app. And check out some of the dope content there. Some of the other podcasts that are on Inspire You or some of our sister podcasts like Off Safety, like Woo Isms, like The Bruhs Bookshelf. Check some of those out too, man. They have just as much fun. We enjoy listening to those and as they listen to us. So just want to throw that out there, man.
Don't forget Truth Be Told Sports.
Truth Be Told Sports. That's right.
Alrighty. With that being said, I'll make it really quick. Shout out once again to the graduates, the class of 2023. I've been to numerous graduations this last few weeks, and it just fills my heart to see all these young people getting ready to enter these next stages of your life. So stay encouraged, stay positive, go out there and be fearless. And you're still young. You can bounce back, have fun, do what you do. We said it earlier, happy birthday, Rozzy, but also happy birthday to my dad, you know, happy heavenly birthday. I think that's what we say now. I can't keep up with all these, the way we keep changing these new phrases that become appropriate. But to my family, I know he's not here, but he's loved and he's missed. And so, Dad, this is for you. And we talked about Little Mermaid earlier today, and I just want to once again give a shout out to Hallie. We talked about this a couple of times about Black Girl Magic. She did her thing. She left no stone unturned with that role. I was just very happy for her to be her debut like major film role. So with that being said, another Black Girl Magic moment is I'm getting ready after this show to go see my daughter Skylar perform in her ballet and tap / jazz recital. So I know you're gonna kill it, Sky. Daddy's proud of you. Keep doing what you do. This is Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. 6 rules of podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and then most importantly, listen again.